This year, Russia has launched a series of deliberate and devastating attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Taking advantage of gaps and shortages in Ukraine's air defenses, Russia has systematically targeted nearly every single power plant in this country. Officials here tell us the last few weeks have been unlike any they've seen before in this war.
An idyllic scene in the city of Ukrainka, just outside of Kyiv. But the Russian attack here just 3 days earlier is fresh in Gennady's mind.
It was about 5 a.m. Everybody woke up because it was a massive explosion. And then a few more explosions.
The 64-year-old local builder struggles to describe the moment.
You need to hear it to understand it. You need to live through it.
The airstrikes destroyed their target, the Tripilska power plant, one of the country's largest power plants and the main electricity source for 3 million people in the Kyiv region and surrounding areas. It's also the center of this city's livelihood.
More than half the city's population works at the power plant.
19-year-old Alina has lived here her whole life. She had a clear view of the attack and aftermath from her window at home.
What did you think when you heard those explosions that night?
What's going to happen in the city? Will the rockets come into the city? Will they hit houses? What will happen the next day with heat, with water?
In the early morning hours of April 11th, Tripilska was one of multiple power plants hit by the Russians. That followed a March 29th attack on other power plants, which followed March 22nd strikes also targeting Ukraine's energy system.
They try, they test, they see the results and just repeat.
Dmytro Sakharov is executive director of DTEC, Ukraine's largest private energy company. He says Russia has attacked power plants earlier in the war, but this year is different.
The efficiency these days, unfortunately, is higher because of Russians develop their skills. This is basically the third year of war. Mm-hmm. They improve the technology. They, I guess, install some more advanced guiding systems.
When you say efficiency, you mean they're more efficient at causing more damage to
Ukraine? Causing more damage, yeah.
So far, an estimated 60% of Ukraine's power generating capacity may have already been impacted by Russian drones and missiles. Rolling blackouts have been imposed in several areas.
Everything was different.
President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine's inability to defend its energy infrastructure is a microcosm of larger battlefield challenges as they face a critical artillery and air defense shortage. At the Tripilska plant, he tells us, his forces intercepted 7 of 11 Russian missiles, but they were 4 missiles short of saving the plant.
When you're running out of missiles, people are dying. Tripilska is just the most recent small example of a large challenge.
They were 4 missiles short. That is what made the difference between protecting that plant and that plant being destroyed. How often do you find yourself in that situation?
I guess all our plants were in the same situation, where partially the incoming missiles were intercepted, and second wave or another part were not, and they just hit the target.
Sakharov now keeps a flak jacket for facility visits. His teams have been issued the same.
Like soldiers, basically, they have helmets, they have vests, even some armored vehicles.
They're like soldiers on their own front line, then.
We call it energy front line.
For Alina, who lives on that front line, Russia's mission is clear.
To destroy our nation, to destroy our moral spirit. But they won't succeed at all.
They won't succeed. Why not?
Because they attacked the wrong people. We are much stronger than them. We have morals and less fear than them.
Gennady says he was turned away twice from the military recruitment center past their age 60 cutoff.
When people are dying, when children are dying, women, how could you not be worried? As a father, I'm worried for my children.
This is hard for you to talk about.
Well, you can hear it in my voice.
This father is now bracing to send his own son to fight in a war that's already come to their home.
We understand what it's like to be without lights, without water, but we will survive. They don't understand that.
Officials here are scrambling to repair any of the plants that they can and to keep power flowing into people's homes. But they say until Ukraine can really defend its skies against those Russian drones and missiles, that no part of the country's critical infrastructure is truly safe. Jeff?
And Amna, as President Zelensky told you in the interview yesterday, Ukraine really needs Congress to approve aid to help fill the gaps in its air defense and replenish its artillery. What's been the response so far to Speaker Mike Johnson's plan for separate bills for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan aid?
Yeah, Jeff, no direct response to that proposal so far, but sort of an indirect response, if you will, in what's become his nightly address to the nation. Tonight, Zelensky reiterated some of the concerns he's made to us as well about what he sees as a different standard for security for Israel and for Ukraine. In part, he had this to say. He said the world must ensure true equality in the protection from terror. So when we face the same terror and the same strikes from missiles and drones, the rules are equal in Ukraine, Europe, and other parts of the world. Now, we know the president told us yesterday he found it strange that Republican lawmakers would separate out that Ukraine aid from the other bills, mainly because he said he got a firm commitment from Speaker Johnson when they spoke directly just a few weeks ago. But a bit of news from the president's office today. He is now requesting an urgent meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Council. That's the joint body that was put together last year where NATO leaders and the president of Ukraine can meet to share and talk about shared concerns. And of course, that says they're seeking full membership of NATO. But we did ask Zelensky's office for any additional comment about that aid proposal in the U.S. Congress. They say no comment for now. They say they're going to watch how the process unfolds. Jeff?
I'm the Navaz in Kyiv tonight. It's great to see you. Our thanks to you and the team there.
Thanks, Jeff.